Heavenly Father, you are an incredible God. Amen. Father, we don't deserve to be with you. We don't deserve to have a relationship with you. But Father, you love us so much that you allow us to come into your presence whenever we choose. Father, I pray that we do not cease in prayer, that we're constantly coming to you, getting our strength for you to fix our broken hearts. Father, we're all going through something at some point of our life. And I pray, Father, that we could be there for others that are going through stuff, if everything's going smooth for us. And Father, if we're going through stuff, I pray we open our mouths. First to you, God, and then secondly to our brothers, so that we can receive strength from you. We thank you so much for allowing us to have a men's class. Thank you so much that you allow me to address the men of the church, the mighty men of the kingdom of God. Father, it is incredible to be a man of God. And Father, being a man of God, I know, does not mean perfect, but thank you so much for your grace. I ask you that you will give us strength, give us insight into your scriptures, and help us just to be all in this evening. We love you. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Man, I'm excited that Danny Doble's here. Yeah. He definitely gets the award of, man, he just got his knee tore up and he's still here at church. Come on, man. That's why I call him my friend. Amen. That's a mighty man of God. Let me ask you guys a question. As men, what are some things we like to talk about?
Sports.
Sports. What else?
Food.
Yeah, we do like to talk about food. What else? Jobs, our work, right? What else? Yes. Cars, absolutely.
Manly things.
Beards. Some of us have little beards, and then there's Grub. You know.
Superhero.
He's like the sixth member of Duck Dynasty, but whatever. Superheroes. We like to talk about superheroes. What else? What are the guys like? Building things. I wrote it down. Sports, movies, news. We like our CNN, don't we? Work. A lot of times we like to talk about our strength, right? Especially those of us that like to lift weights.
Like, what are you bench, bro?
And we don't really talk about that unless we can bench over a certain amount. Where's Derek Brewer? Okay, I digress. That brother could bench several of us together. I've seen him at the gym. He's a bad man. He actually asked me for a spot. I was like, are you sure? There he is. Do you want a spot for me? I'm just saying, bro.
Are you strong, bro?
Yeah. I ain't Derek Brewer strong. You know, we love to talk about what we love to talk about, right? We love to talk about movies, sports, whatever. But what's some things we don't like to talk about?
Purity.
Purity. Wow. That's the first thing, huh?
Weakness.
Our weaknesses. Yeah. Feelings. Yeah. Emotions. We'd rather just vulnerable. Anything vulnerable, right?
Yeah, sure.
This evening, I want to talk about boasting in weakness. We don't naturally like to talk about our weaknesses, do we?
Nope.
What does it make us feel?
Insecure.
Wimpy.
Weak.
Weak. There you go, right? I wrote inadequate. Insecure. Less than others. This is simply a lie from the devil. You know, some of my best friend relationships were built on someone, either me or them, talking about weakness. Going to confess something, they're like, bro, I'm with you, man. I struggle with the same thing. And next thing you know, you guys kind of can relate to one another. And hopefully you can't relate too much where you're not changing that, but that you're willing to hear each other out and say, you know what, we need to change this. We need to do that together. Some of our closest relationships are built on weakness. In order for us to grow, we need to see the areas that we need to grow in and then have other people in our lives that are willing to help us with it.
Amen.
So if you struggle with purity, should you go to Joe Blow brother that looks at internet porn all the time? Probably not. Because he might feel bad about it, but he hasn't conquered it yet. So you need to talk to a brother who is strong in that, who has dealt with that and has a conviction to help you gain a conviction. Amen?
Amen.
You know, the Bible clearly says where two blind men will lead each other, right?
Sure.
To the ditch. And we don't want to be in the ditch.
Right.
Name some very powerful men from the Bible.
David.
Moses.
Samson.
Jesus.
Okay, who cheated? So, who said Jesus? Yeah, you cheated. That's a cheat right there. Who else?
Shadrach,
Meshach, and Abednego. Very good. Joe, Daniel.
Elijah.
Noah. Good. I came up with a couple. Besides Jesus, all these men had weaknesses. Jesus, cheater, had none. He was the guy that we look to as the rock, right? He's the one that the church was built upon. But Peter's my favorite guy in the Bible. I can't wait to spend a couple of millennia with Peter. He got to hang with Jesus. He was one of Jesus' best friends. And I can relate with Peter on a lot of things. He was a rash man. He was emotional. Well, hopefully I didn't do this. He abandoned Jesus. He had some glaring weaknesses, right? Sure. David, he was a murderer and an adulterer. Samson, he was a womanizer. Moses, he said himself that he was slow in speech. Elijah, he gave in to fear when a woman threatened his life. Paul, he persecuted the true church and had a thorn in the flesh. You know, these men, when we look at them, and there's so many more that you guys called out, there's so many powerful men in the Bible. But does that mean they didn't have any weaknesses? You know, there are powerful men sitting in this room right now. Does that mean we don't have any weaknesses? That in itself would be a weakness if we claim to have no weaknesses. You know, in order for us to become the men this world needs us to be, we need to be men who boast in weakness. Look over in Ephesians 2. It is so much easier to boast about the things we do well, isn't it? You know, now there's a difference when we know our areas that God has gifted us in, right? And that is not pride and it's not boasting when you know what you do well. Now, it is pride and it is boasting when you compare yourself with somebody else and say, I am better than that other person with that gift, or maybe a person that doesn't have that gift. Now, that is pride. But if you know, like for me, I can come up with Bible studies pretty easily. That is just something that God has blessed me with that ability to do. Now, as long as I point to him who gave me the gift and don't say, yo, you know what I could do? I can come up with Bible. No, that's prideful. But if I stand before you and say, this is a gift God has given me, that is not pride. I am simply stating a fact that God has made apparent since I was a young disciple. Everyone in this room needs to know our strengths as well as our weaknesses. If you don't know what your strength is, how are you serving in the church? If you can't sing, please don't get up on stage and try to sing. That is not something God has given you to do. And that's okay. When, you know, Lonnie and Ron are up there singing, you can be handing out communion. You know, you could be doing something else, whatever it is that needs to be done. But we need to know our strengths, but we also need to know our weaknesses. Ephesians 2, starting in verse 8, it says, for it is by grace that you've been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Okay, so praise God, we have our salvation, but it is not something that we need to boast in ourselves. We did not go to the cross for ourselves. We did not open up the Bible and find the scriptures ourselves. And even when we're teaching others the Bible, there's no reason for us to boast about that either. Did you write the Bible? Did those words originate out your mouth? No. They are all God's words. So when we're preaching, teaching, or doing whatever, discipling someone, man, we need to be very humble. And recognize these are God's words coming out of our mouths, and we need to point to him as the one with the strength. Amen. You know, praise God that he has saved us, but it is not from our works. It is a gift of God. Amen. You know, it is not through our Bible studies or even being baptized that we can give credit to ourselves. Did you institute baptism? No, that's in the Bible. When we get baptized, we're simply just being obedient to what the Bible tells us to do to be saved. When the scriptures say, repent and be baptized, and we're obedient, praise God, you are smart enough to obey. That's pretty much about all the credit you could take. It's like somebody giving you a lottery ticket and saying, this is a winning lottery ticket. How much credit can you be given when you go cash that thing in? Duh, I already told you it's a winning ticket. How much more do you need? Well, that's the same thing with the scriptures. When we actually see through the Bible what God is trying to do in our lives, if we're smart enough, we say, I need to do this. I want a relationship with God. Well, there's no boasting that. We did that to better, we studied the Bible to better understand the work of Jesus. And we were baptized to be obedient. None of these ideas originated by us. You know, again, when we speak the words of God, it is not our eloquent teachings of the scriptures. It is the Bible that does the work. Amen? You know, one thing Richard used to say is, man, will you stop talking so much during the studies? And he wouldn't just say that to me. He would say, man, I find that people are doing hour, hour and a half, you know, word studies. An hour seeking God study. It got three scriptures in it, y'all. Why are we taking so long? It's because we have all the stories and all the eloquent words. Let the scriptures speak. Let God speak. You know, whatever role we have in the church is also a gift of God. Look over in 2 Timothy. Second Timothy 1, verse 6. It says, for that reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. This is Paul teaching Timothy how to be an evangelist. And what is he telling him to do? He's telling him to fan into flame the gift of God. Whatever role we're in, no matter what role we're in the church, it is not because of who we are. It's because it's God who made us who we are. God has gifted us to do these things. So if you're an evangelist, you don't need to have a big head about that. If you're an elder, if you're a teacher, if you're whatever, it is because God has given you this gift to do this office. Does that make sense? We do not need to boast about our position. We need to be humble. All the offices in the church is about being servants anyway. So the best among us is the biggest servant among us. Now, that is something that we need to be working on. Amen? We need to be out serving each other like crazy. There are some brothers who have the gift of service. And then there are other brothers. I'm just saying. Where do you fall in that? You know, one guy that just pops in my mind is Russ McGar, and I know he hates to be talked about, but I don't care because it's true. Every time somebody moving, Russ is there. Anytime somebody need to do something, Russ is there. Russ could be in two moves, you know, restore somebody that day and be in a Bible study the same day and come serve Case Kingdom the next day. Amen. That's just his heart. And there are several other of you guys that are like that as well. And your reward will be in heaven, praise God. You don't need to get, you know, recorded about that. Just know that God knows what you're doing. But you don't need to boast about that. You don't need to say, I am a servant of God. Well, where aren't we all supposed to be? That is just something that we need to be. You know, I said it before. If you have the natural ability to sing, can you stand here with your chest puffed out and say, I can sing? Now, there's a difference when you've been given the natural ability and you've trained. But where did you get the natural abilities from? Sure. From God. So, again, there's no reason to boast. We need to use whatever gifts God has given us for the glory of God. Amen. It cannot be to our glory. Does that make sense? You know, gifts come from God, and as long as you attribute that gift to Him, it is simply you acknowledging what you do well. What are some of your gifts? Do you even know what your gifts are? The world teaches us not to really boast. You know, we're so quick to want to be, man, I need to be humble. But you know what? If somebody stands up here, if one of the elders came up and said, I need somebody to preach this Sunday, do you know if you could do that or not? We need somebody to go start a Bible talk in Lithonia. Do you know that you have the ability to lead a Bible talk? It is not prideful to say, I can do that, as long as you attribute those attributes to God. God has equipped me that I think I can do that. Now, I think it's always a good thing to say, plus I need a lot of help. Amen? I need a lot of assistance. I need people to be in there with me, because alone by ourselves, we could do nothing. But if we don't have God, even with the best cohorts around us, we'll still fail.
Sure.
It is so easy for us to boast. You know, Paul was a very open person, and I appreciate that about him. You know, think about who Paul was. Here's the guy who started all these churches, who went on his journey, came back and went again to re-strengthen. He was the guy that wrote half the New Testament, and he boasted about weakness. Can we sit here and claim to be a man like Paul? Mm-mm is right. I can say mm-mm twice.
Yeah.
But we need to be humble and boast in our weaknesses. Let's look when he did it. Second Corinthians 12. Guys, tonight is not going to be a long lesson. I just want to give you a little something to feed on. But I want us to take some time to pray tonight together. I think that the church of God needs prayers by men of God together. I challenge you guys to be paired up praying. Don't just wait that we do this at church. We need to be praying for the church, guys. I don't know about you guys, but when I come in on Sundays, there are pockets of people not around. We need to be addressing that. We need to be asking people where they're at. How they doing? How's your quiet times? We don't need to have a checklist item, but we need to have love and genuine concern. Now, don't walk around saying, I am a loving brother, and I must boast in that. No. But I can honestly say, and I will boast in this, that I do check my boys when they ain't at church. Now, if you're my boy, you know it because you got a call when you weren't at church. And I consider a lot of people my friends, but you know what? Jesus had his small cluster. I know you do too. If you see your close people, if we all had a close circle and one person missed church, won't we be getting calls? If I asked those that have missed church a couple of times this year, did you get any calls? How would that response be? And there have been times when I've missed and I've gotten some calls. There have been times when I've missed that I haven't gotten any. And I'm not sitting here complaining. But I know of brothers that have said to me, man, I missed church 2 weeks in a row and no one called me at all. Whose fault is that? That's our own. We need to be looking out for one another. Why? Because we're brothers. Bro is not a name for each other because we don't know the other guy's name. What's up, bro? What's his name? I don't know. He's bro. That's not what we're trying to do here. That's called superficial. We're supposed to be men of God, right? Not fronters of God. Are we deep into our relationships with one another? I so appreciate that our church separates men and women at the end of the month. I think it's fantastic. But y'all, if we're just waiting to the end of the month to get some men time, oh, we're in trouble. I need my time with my guys. Me and Derek, sometimes we see each other at the gym. It's like cool water, baby. I see him over there sweating and doing his thing. I don't care. I just go out to, yo, what's up, man? How you doing? Even if it's a quick 10 minutes, because we're trying to get in our work. You know what I'm saying? But I need fellowship. Are you seeking fellowship? You know, I hear about a lot of brothers going out to eat. That's awesome. Why don't we go out and work out? And Alan is a great avid walker. He does all the walking stuff. Man, ask Alan to go walk. Some of us, we need to walk. You know, I could boast in my weaknesses. I'm heavy. That's no lie. And it's obvious. I'm doing something about it. What you doing about yours? Now, you might be able to see mine, and I can't see yours, but are you working on you? People so quick to talk about the fat dude. So quick. You might got some inner fat we don't know about. You got some hidden fat we don't know about. Don't pick on me because I'm heavy. Now, if I'm not doing nothing about it, I need help. And there have been times, man, this has been my struggle since I was 2. You know what I'm saying? I've always been heavy. This has been my struggle. And there have been several times that I've come and I've had some great losses, not gains. And then I would fall back and get some gains again. One time I lost 85 pounds. Wow. Then I moved here and started eating y'all biscuits and got me in trouble. See, you can keep your biscuits to yourself. I don't want your biscuits. See, to get this off, it's not through osmosis. It's not just going to happen by mistake. We need to be intentional. Are you intentionally going after the things that you're weak in? Now, you might be, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and that's all good and fine, but are you going to get to heaven? That's the most important part. But I don't want my lack of discipline to stop me from getting to heaven. I'm just telling you the truth. But it's something I'm working on. You can hold me accountable. Come to the gym. I work out of Gold's. We could curl together. Paul's vision and his thorn. Look over in verse 6. It says, even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Excuse me. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Come on, baby. Tell me this doesn't go and fly in the face of everything anyone has ever taught you about being a man. We're not supposed to boast about our weakness. We're supposed to tell you how big I am, how strong I am. I don't cry. Please. The strongest men I know cry. The shortest verse in the Bible is what? Thank you. Jesus was the strongest man ever. And he wept, even though he knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. That's a real man. Why did he weep? Because he came and saw the suffering and wanted to suffer with them. That is a great minister. Aren't we all ministers? As disciples of Jesus, we're all ministers. When we come into a situation, we're not supposed to be, you know, judging people. Oh, you that way because of what you did, and look at you, you nasty. No. You come in and you empathize. You sympathize. You feel for people. You let them see. Let me let you know, you want to convert somebody? Love them. Don't judge them. Even if they cause it upon themselves. When's the last time you caught stupid on you? Let's just keep it real. We do it all the time, don't we? And thank God, God does not treat us as our sins deserve. Because if he did, we'd all be laying down like, good Lord, I need help. But God gives us mercy. Amen. Isn't that what we need to be boasting in?
Yes, right.
You know, Paul wrote most of the New Testament and had weaknesses, but he chose to speak about them. Why? To teach us a valuable lesson. You know, God gave Paul many strengths. You know, in order to keep him humble, he allowed Paul to be afflicted with a thorn in the flesh. Does anybody know what that thorn is? Thank you. At least you're humble about that. Praise God. There's a lot of ideas out there, and I'm not going to bother talking about them because they're all speculations. Paul decided not to talk about that. It was sufficient to say I had a thorn in my flesh, an agent of Satan. So it wasn't no little thorn. It was a big old thorn. It was something that afflicted him greatly. What do you do when you're afflicted greatly with anything? What did that thorn allow Paul to do? What? That's the answer right there. Why does God allow us, any of us, to get thorns? To rely on God. Because when we rely on men, we will be disappointed. Haven't you disappointed people? Oh, don't sit here and say no, because yes, you have. I just got to talk to your wife. I just got to talk to your kids. And if you ain't got none, I'll talk to your future. And they're going to say the same thing. We all disappoint, even when we try. I mean, I believe every man in here doesn't live to do that, or you wouldn't be in the room. We want to do what's right. But because of our sinful nature, we mess up sometimes. Verse 8. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Did Paul want the thorn? Did he think spiritually, man, this thorn is awesome? Oh, man, lucky me. I am growing so much closer to God because of this thorn. He went to God and begged God three times, take this from me. Does that remind you of anybody? Jesus went to God and said, take away this cup of suffering from me. How many times did he pray? Three times. What was God's answer? No. How do you handle no from God? That's one of those, like, you can't get it up there no more. It's like, oh, it's right there. I can't do it. That's where true faith starts. The yes is easy. When God gives us yes, it's like a child being told yes by their mama, can I get another cookie? The little kid walks away skipping. Why? Because they wanted a cookie and they got the yes. How does a kid act when he gets the no? All funky and like, oh, I don't even want to talk to you no more. Over a cookie. How often do we treat God the same way when God doesn't say yes to us? God is amazing. He tells us no for a reason. He knows what is best for us. Have you ever repeatedly prayed that God takes something away only to be told no? Have you ever prayed for someone not to die and they died? Have you ever prayed that God, please don't make me, let me lose my job, and you lost it anyway? What was your response then? Jesus' response is, may your will be done. And what did God do? God sent an angel to strengthen him. And God gave him strength, right? God wants to strengthen us. God wants to encourage us. But we have to learn to take the no. We have to have faith. You know, it's easy for us to boast in strength. How easy is it for you to boast in your weakness? When you see a brother and says, hey, bro, how you doing? I'm doing great, bro. How many times do we hear that in one service? And how many times is that literally true? I'm calling you all out. And you can call me out. Sometimes I've told brothers, they say, how you doing? Like, do you really want to know? I'm not going to answer you unless you want to know. Because I'll tell you the truth. But we ain't going to be just you passing by on the way to your car. Don't you ever have times like that? When you just need to talk to somebody and somebody, God puts somebody in your path that you might not normally talk to. They're like, bro, how you doing, man? God put you on my heart. I just want to say, how you doing? Are you obedient to God right there and say, okay, God, you must have put him in my path for a reason. Hey, man, can we set up some coffee? Can I buy you a meal so that we could talk? God must have sent you for a reason. Or do you just say, man, I'm good, lying through your teeth, and you keep it stepping? And then you wonder why you keep on tripping on your face with the same issue. Because you're not boasting in your weakness. We all got hurt. We all got stuff we're going through. And yes, there are appropriate times to talk about it and appropriate people to talk to. But man, we got to get it out, don't we? Because guess what? It's a poison in our own hearts. Verse 9. God responds to Paul. Again, remember who this is. This is Paul who wrote most of the New Testament. This is Paul who Jesus himself converted. This is Paul who did incredible things, preached in front of kings, did all this crazy stuff. And God still told him no. God still told Jesus no. So let me ask you a question. So you think that God's going to tell those two men no, and you ain't going to get a no? How prideful are we? He told his own son no, and then we catch an attitude with God because he tells us no. He's like, yo, man, I told my son no. He didn't even deserve all that stuff. Now, God didn't say that. I'm just speaking for him. But I think he would say that because it's true. It's very true. You know, he answered Paul My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And what do we do when we hear that? No! That's not what I want to hear! Say yes when I ask you. I know what I need. And God's just looking at you. Jesus, come here. Yo, Paul, come here, man. Check out this dude. Now, I don't know. I don't think Jesus speaks, God speaks like that. That's just if it was me. Yo, check this dude out. He crazy. You know, there's a joke that says, you know, you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. You want to make God laugh? Tell him your plans. God, this is what I'm going to do. We go, really? Thanks for letting me know. I appreciate you letting me in. When we pray, we're not letting God in on anything. It's funny. It's funny, but don't we do it? We reserve the right to get mad at God when he tells us no. We need to praise God that he is not like some of our earthly fathers. That God is not like us sometimes. When we go back and we disagree with a place of authority, how do you act? As the authority, how do you feel when somebody tells you something you don't want to hear? Are you graceful as God is with them? That's a big lesson for me with my own children. When they act a little funny, and they go beyond acting funny, am I graceful to them? Because, you know, that whole thing up there is not fully developed yet. And it's called their brain. And I need to give them tons of grace. Think about the last time God told you no and how much grace he had on you when you flipped out about his response. God's grace is sufficient for anyone in times of weakness. Did you hear that? God's grace is sufficient for anyone in times of weakness. It says, in fact, that God's power is made perfect in weakness. God doesn't just use our strengths to reach this big world. A lot of times, he'll use your weaknesses. What did he have Moses do? Speak to Pharaoh, right? What did he do? Speak. What did Moses say he wasn't good at? Speaking. And God said, I heard you. Now go do this. Now go. I wish I had that God voice. Go. Come here, Lonnie, say it for me. But you know, go. God said, go. When God says go, do you go? I said, well, God, you know, I got issues. Go in the strength that you have. That's all he expects. God is so good. God is so incredible. God's power is made perfect in weakness. It's when we're weak that we depend more on God. Amen. Think about it when you're studying the Bible with a non-Christian. When do they pray? When times suck? When their pockets are nice and full and their bellies are nice and full? They forget to pray. Why? Because they don't need nothing. Their basic needs are being met. But yet when they lose their job, God, why did you let this happen to me? God was like, oh, you came back. I guess you must be hungry. We joke, but think about yourself. Are the times that you're fervent in prayer when you're going through stuff? The Bible says to pray without ceasing. Ceasing means stopping. In other words, don't stop praying. Do you stop praying? Are you full of God? We'll be careful. Don't answer that one. I don't want no fire up in here from the lightning that God might deliver. Can you ever be full of God? Man, our need for God is so huge. I was sharing with some brothers that a couple weeks ago when I took my son to the swamp, the day before, during my quiet time, I felt like God, no, it was actually in the evening, before I was taking my son, I felt like God put something on my heart. He said, you need to spend time with me. Usually when God says something, I kind of do it because it was God. So I was okay. I looked at my calendar, and for the first time in years, I didn't have anything to do church-related that Saturday. So I was like, yes, I ain't planning nothing. So I told my wife, I said, okay, I'm taking my son to the swamp. He's covered. My wife and daughter had stuff to do. They covered. I said, I'm going to get lost on Saturday. It's going to be me and God. So somebody said, oh, you spent the day alone. No, I didn't. It was me and God. Don't you get the concept? Don't you ever go alone with you and God? Man, if you don't have you and God time, what are you doing? Do you want to go to heaven? Because that's what it's going to be, time with God. I want that. So I'm driving back from the swamp, got my son off, and I'm like, ooh, I'm free, and I'm never free. This is awesome. I'm driving down 15, and those of you that know this, you know 15. Going down 15, I see a dirt road, and then, turn into the dirt road. I was like, I'm going to get lost. Turn down another dirt road, drive down half a mile, and I see a bunch of guys in orange jumpsuits or whatever. Not jumpsuits, but vests. You know what they're doing, right? And next thing you know, I hear a shot. I'm like, this is not where the Lord is. You know what I'm saying? And I kind of left, and I prayed quickly, Father, deliver me from this situation. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't know if I was on somebody's land or what was going on, but I quickly made a different way. Got back on 15, and I saw the sign for Oconee River Park. And I went over there, and I went to the edge of the river. Almost slipped in. Thank God I didn't. It was muddy. Whatever. Don't laugh at me. And I had a cooler that I didn't expect to have, but I thank God I had it. And I used it as a chair. And I opened up my Bible, and me and God spent a couple of hours together. Amen. And it was so needed. But here's the kicker. Oh, and then I treated myself to some barbecue on the way home. I've been doing two shakes a day and a meal. And that was my meal for the day. I said, I'm going to make it a good one. So I got me some, what is it called? Hot Thomas. If you're ever on 15 and you've seen Hot Thomas, stop and bless yourself. Anyway, that was a plug for Hot Thomas. Had my Hot Thomas barbecue, went home. I mean, I needed the veil. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, woo, let's go. Yeah. I get home and I'm met at the door with issues. Issue was standing right there. I walk in and he's right. I'm like, Dad, go on in. I just got home. I just had barbecue, man. Can I keep this God feeling I got? Had to deal with issues. And then I quickly realized that even when you feast on God, you still got to be nibbling all day long on him. Or you can't sustain it. You would think after almost 20 years in the kingdom, I would have got that, right? But I thought that quiet time was going to last me a couple of hours. How do you do when the struggle comes? You know the saying, the struggle is real. If the struggle ain't real for you today, don't worry, it's coming. It's the same thing we talk about Atlanta weather. I think Alan made that joke. If you don't like the weather today, don't worry, it'll change by tomorrow. Things are in constant change, isn't it? How do you do with that change? You know, Paul learned a valuable lesson from God's response. He says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. I'll read it again. It's so good. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly, not reluctantly, not because someone taught you to, not because you're expected to, but because you're glad to do it. And giving your problem to somebody else. Now, if I share with Melvin my problems, he don't get my problems. But he's been through stuff and he can help me through them. He can help me with my weakness. But what does it say right here? It says, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Where does your power come from this evening? If you're struggling, it's okay. You don't have to. But I'll tell you why you're struggling. It's because God's power is not resting on you. I guarantee you, before you leave today, you set up a coffee. If you like tea, go get you some tea. And if you like frappuccinos, go for it. You want barbecue? Hot Thomas, great place. Talk to a brother. Seriously. And share the struggle. It's honestly not that hard. Because if they look at you and clown on you for your struggle, God is going to deal with them. God is going to deal with them. How dare we, who are in sin, disrespect another man who got something they're going through? It's like me, who is fighting for my weight, have lost some weight, seeing someone at a buffet walking with that plate. You know about that plate. Some of you have done that plate. The teens, you all do that plate every time we have a meeting. You know, you have that plate. It's like, guys, it's a buffet. You know you can come back, right? It's like me saying, oh my gosh, what is wrong with him? And I'm still carrying. And even once I get rid of this, how dare I judge that person? Do you make it easy for people to come to you with their weaknesses? Are people afraid of you? That should not be the case. That means we have forgotten who we are without Christ. We need to be men who boast in our weaknesses. We all need to have men in our lives who we feel free to tell anything without fear of being beat up, judged, or looked down on. None of us are perfect. Neither are the men we look to for help. We need to have humility to tell others our weaknesses, but also be humble when others tell us their weaknesses. In verse 10, Paul shows his change in his mindset. He goes, that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This is not the natural way we think. But here's the thing. God is putting us through hard times to transform our thinking. And until that thinking is transformed, you will repeat the class time and time again. I'm talking to you. I promise you. You will repeat the class until you pass. So do you want to pass? And then God also knows about that one too. It has to be genuine. And this is a long lesson. This is challenging at times. But what's the alternative? Suffering in silence? Not having God's power in our life? And then we wonder why we can't beat sin A or sin B? Guys, it's very simple. We need to boast in our weaknesses. If you want God's power, you must go through hard times and have your own thorns. We need to stop praying for God to take them away, but for God to strengthen our character to help us deal with it in his way. Because guess what? The answer probably is going to be no. As you look in the scriptures, most of the time it's no, isn't it? So why do you think it will be different for you? You could try. I'm not saying don't try. But don't get mad if he says no. Remember, God is perfect. He knows all things. Nothing sneaks up on him. Oh, shucks, I didn't know that was going to happen. God has never uttered that because he's God. So when you're going through something, don't think that, oh, man, that caught God unawares. It's impossible. Nothing catches God unawares. So either he caused it or he allowed it, but this is where faith comes in. It's for our good. We've been reading Romans 8:28 like every other sermon we've been doing.
Sure.
We should know it by heart by now. Yeah. God works through all things for the good of those who love him according to his purpose. Do you believe that? Or do you pout and complain when you're going through stuff and God's answer is no? You know, my prayer is as the men of the church that we will lead boldly. Leading boldly doesn't mean to speak loud. Leading boldly doesn't mean to go out street preaching, though it's okay. Leading boldly doesn't mean that you bowl people over. That's not leading boldly. Leading boldly is humility. Leading boldly is being accessible to others. So that when they come to you, they don't feel like, man, he's going to blow me out the water. I've had so many situations where teens came, Mr. John, I need to talk to you about something. I said, boy, what's wrong? Stop stuttering. What's going on? Well, I need to confess something. Go ahead and say it. And they say something, and some of it's been like, whoa! My response every time, and it will continue to be, wow. That must have been hard for you to come to talk to me, especially since you were stuttering so much. I see you were scared. I took a lot of bravery. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's bring this before God. What happens when you bring it before God? Teen and man become equal. Everyone stands at the same level when we talk to our God. And we come together as brothers. Bring this problem before God and ask him to transform hearts and to change lives. And he does every time. And every conversation I've ever had like that, the teen walked away, man, I thought you were going to beat me. I'm like, first of all, I'm not your daddy. Who am I to jump on you for your sin? I ask the same of you. If I come to you with my stuff, I ask you to treat me as gently as I would want to treat you. Amen?
Amen?
As men in the church, we need to learn how to handle our weaknesses with each other, yep, as well as ourselves.
Amen.
You know, as brothers, let's humbly boast in our weaknesses, as well as humbly help each other out with our weaknesses as well. Let's take some time to pray real quick. Can I get a couple guys who would like to pray? Just stand up and pray, and I'll close this out when I see the time is up. Who'd like to start us out?
Father in heaven, we thank you so much for giving us all that we have. We know that our strength comes from you. We know that we have a place with you because you chose to give us grace. You chose to show us mercy, and you chose to sacrifice your son on our behalf. Father, there's nothing that we've done that's so great before you. But God, you just, again, your heart to love us, it goes beyond our understanding. We pray, Father, that with your words that you've given us, that we will hold on to them tightly, that we don't lose focus as we get as we continue to live the life here on earth. Father, it is so distracting, the things that we see, the things that we undergo, the challenges that we face. But Father, if we can hold on to your word, God, you will give us the strength necessary to overcome. Help us to remember those things, Father. Help us not to turn away from the one thing that's going to guide us, the one thing that can rescue us. Help us not to walk away from that. And Father, for those men that did in the past, chose to walk away, I pray, Father, that you would strengthen them. Father, you would strengthen us to go to them, Father, and reach out to them, to love them, as John encouraged us to do. Because we know that if we do these things, Father, if we imitate your son in these things, Father, so much great things can happen. Mm-hmm. And so I know, Father, again, with your words, with your promises that you've never broken, never have changed, never took away something that you said you were going to do. Father, truly you can do these things if we just hold on tight to them. So we thank you so much for what you've done. We thank you for what you've done in the future, and you continue to strengthen this church as we move forward. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Father, thank you so much for this time to pray to you. Father, thank you so much for this lesson. God, it's a tough lesson for us, y'all. We always think that we have to be strong within ourselves to be strong. But Father, it is true that we are strongest, God, when we are weak. Because we know that we can rely and depend on you. That God, you give us everything. And I pray so much that we'll be humble and recognize that and acknowledge that. But I pray so much, Father, that we'll be humble with each other. That we'll be humble with each other to talk about our weaknesses and to share those things. I pray so much, God, that we'll be humble, Father, in how we help our brothers. And I pray so much, God, that we have the humility in our hearts to go and help each other, not to continue to think of ourselves and think of our needs and what we want and what we want to get out of things, but to really consider others. That, Father, I pray so much that we truly think like Jesus and consider others better than ourselves. Father, thank you so much, Father, for this lesson, for tonight. Thank you so much for us to be able to hear this and to see the scriptures and to think about Paul and just someone that we can admire for his strength. And just how he even learned the lesson, God, that his strength, that he was made powerful through his weaknesses. And God, I pray so much that we'll have that heart, we'll have that conviction, we'll have the just everything that we need, Father. And I thank you so much that you give us everything that we need, the life and breath and everything else. I pray that we can truly be the leader that you've called us to be. And Father, like John was saying, it's so easy. We think about being a leader, we think about being loud and boisterous and just, you know, being crazy, but Father, truly having your heart and having the humility and the conviction and just being grounded in the scriptures, being grounded in mercy and grounded in your love, grounded in your grace. And I pray so much, Father, that you will work with us, to be with us in every way. We'll set a great example for the sisters, for our wives, for our children, an example for everyone, even those out there in the world. We'll set a great example of what it is to be a true man of God. Thank you so much once again for this time, and I pray to you in this name, amen. Amen.
Father in heaven, thank you so much for John preaching the word boldly tonight. Father, it's not easy to stand up and share deep convictions, and Father, it's evident that, you know, he understands grace. Father, I pray that, you know, we rejoice in the thorn in our flesh. Father, all of us have thorns. I know I have thorns. We all do, God. Thank you for the way you love us through our weaknesses. Thank you for the way you love us unconditionally. Father, help me to give that love to my wife, to my children, to the lost world. Father, help me to just live out of a weak space so that you can lift us up. Father, we truly, as men, it's so important for us to God, to communicate weaknesses, Father. Help us to be vulnerable and to be transparent and to be encouraging. And Father, when weaknesses are shared, God, that we will lift each other up graciously. And we would bring the weaknesses to your throne and pray for each other, Father. Be very specific about that. God, I really appreciate Jesus and the fact that he laid down his life for us. God, and he considered his eternity. Father, he walked on this earth and brought his life down here, Father, so we can have a relationship with you. And God, I really pray specifically and powerfully that, God, it's not about us. It's about your grace. It's about the blood of Jesus. It's about the sacrifice, Father. It's about your kingdom. It's about the king that sits on the throne, Father. It's about all of that. And God, I pray that with the distractions we do have in this world, as other brothers prayed, God, that we can stay focused and stay focused on Jesus and who he is and live that way every day. God, I really thank you for the opportunity to be redeemed every day. I thank you, Father, so much for that and the way you love us, the way you appreciate us. And Father, help us to appreciate each other the way you appreciate us. We love you and thank you and pray all this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Lord God, Heavenly King, God, we come before you, God, as your humble servants. God, we come before you as the man of your kingdom. God, and each and every one of us, God, come to the table with something different. Each and every one of us, Kendall's friend, God, we each have a thorn in our flesh. We each have issues that we deal with on a regular basis. God, that we, you know, we see them as weaknesses. We see them as problems. We see them as hindrances. But God, we know that you put them there for a reason. We know, God, that you made us this way for a reason. God, and as we go forward to lead our lives, lead our wives, lead our children, lead our neighbors, as we go forward to advance your kingdom in this world, God, I pray that you'll strengthen us. I pray, God, that you'll give us the character. God, to be able to go to one another, God, for strength and encouragement and being uplifted. God, that knowing that we're not going to be judged, knowing that there's no sin that you've never heard of, that's newly defined or that's unique to us. God, the sin that I deal with is the same sin that every brother in this room deals with. God, and help us to realize that. Help us, God, to not be lied to by Satan. God, to be held down, to be held captive because of our unwillingness to be vulnerable. God, help us, God, to be bold. Help us, God, to lead a lives of servitude. Help us, God, to be an encouragement to our children, to our wives, to our neighbors, to each other. God, of what it means to follow you, what it means to be obedient. God, we love you. We thank you for this time. I pray that you'll bless each and every one of us, if you're within earshot or within hearing this message. God, that we could walk away having been changed. Mm-hmm. We could walk away with a new conviction. We could walk away with a new understanding of how you want us to live our lives. Mm-hmm. God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the words. It's in your son's name we pray all these things. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father, thank you so much, God, for the men in this room. Father, give us strength. Give us passion for you, God. Give us relationships that let no man walk out this room without a relationship, God. Father, we need each other so bad. The church is a community for a reason. And if we walk out without a relationship, it's our own fault. Father, you've set us in family for a reason. Help us to love one another. Help us to be approachable. Help us to be quick to approach, to get things off of our hearts, and to reconcile with our brothers if necessary. Oh, Father, help us just to be real. Help us to love one another and just really have some great fellowship with one another. Thank you so much for all the things you're doing through us and in us and around us. Father, help our children, God. Help us, those of us who are fathers in this room, to be great examples of humility to our children. Help us to be great examples on how to love their moms and how to say I'm sorry to our own children. Father, it's so important, God. And Father, for those of us that are single in the room, God, help us to trust you in that, God. Not to push ourselves in positions that are not your ways. Help us to seek a lot of input and help us to seek your face. Father, for those of us that are empty nesters or whatever stage we're in, God, just help us. Yeah. Father, we need you. We collectively cry out to you, God, because without you, we lost. But we know through you, God, we've already won. Thank you so much again for everyone's heart in here. I pray, God, we have a great rest of our week. And come on Sunday ready to rejoice in you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You are dismissed.